And as long as we know you want, if you want to do a thing like that, you want to do it for all the right reasons, and to help the institution, and you're not trying to get rid of a crown jewel, you're not trying to get rid of these treasured photographs of Delaware Avenue or something, you're trying to... And I'll wager that there is a fortune that hasn't been excavated. That is in storage.
We have done it in 1999. It went to auction with a coin collection. The board agreed we would not come to the commission. They even made a couple of getting in touch with the owner of the donor. I know how to do that. But they did, and they just send it like a grandson said, I think this is great. You know, Dad wanted this collection for the museum, and he helped search the museum. You have my blessing. Went to auction, and now they have a fund that can be used for acquisitions and collections. Because you know how the museum regulates.
Absolutely.
It could be accessible and profit. You can't use it for your operating expenses. You can't make your payroll and pay your bills.
Right. But of course, there are ways of doing things. So if now you have money for acquisition, there might be money that someone left you. You have the same pair of trousers, but different pocket.
Well, they have money successfully without the public speaking.
Some money that's in a trust or who knows what might not have lots of strings on it, where, well, now that we're not going to use that $18,000 for acquisitions or exhibits or, you know, whatever it might be, we could use that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. And I have to believe, because, as I said, I know that you have some sort of general master list, but being specific, content, quality, things like that, because there is no way that MoMA knows got photocopies of those pictures, because there are things that I know that they would want.
Yeah, they would be happy to have them pay to have it scanned or something. But they could find that money, and they get set, and I could sit
there. There's a discussion between Conga Goodyear and Phillips, I think it was, who room at the very 20th century, late 1930s, to RSV of Chicago. And he's talking about how he thinks $50,000 for a major design is just too much money. But they're talking about the gift to Chicago and so forth. The Art Institute might be interested. You have, and I've just started to go like this. I haven't been able to begin to read everything that I've been, you know, paging through, and I haven't gone through every page of it. Then there are things that have absolutely, the correspondence, nothing to do with Buffalo or anything else at all. Like there's a letter from Charlie Lindbergh. But it has nothing to do with Buffalo. It has nothing to do, it's sort of like, it was so lovely to see you and so-and-so at dinner in New York. I mean, that kind of thing.
Somebody, like,
which might be worth your question, because it's a Lindbergh signed letter by Lindbergh. No, you may not, but I'm just saying, I was giving you an example, but there has to be some autographic material that I might even think from the Goodyear folder, but you've got to have other things. There might be a three-page letter by Franklin Roosevelt just talking about fishing up at a guest place up in Canada.
Again, no research value, no real credit. It's the president's signature.
And also things where there were no strings on what you could do with it. Somebody just said, you know, Father wanted you to have something, or Father wanted you to have half of his library, and it just came. But if you had the ability to pay them, one person, who's, and I'm not, certainly I'm just an example, I mean, I'm not trying to do with anything, but I'm just thinking out loud, and if any of my brain droppings are useful, great, and if they aren't, they aren't, and I'm not hurt or offended if you don't think I have one good idea, it's all right. If you need one person, and half of their job was, now you have a part-time, 2.5 days a week, and 2.5 days a week, they could really have a look through.
Or
what, you know. An example, Charles Hamilton was autographed and a book. And what's really sad about this is that he wrote over 20 books on autograph authentication and collecting and so forth. And you know, this is the man, but this is also the man who declared bankruptcy in the 1980s and then got almost 1,400 credits. Because sort of like, oh, I'll get it to you next week and he's in Europe. So he could get it as much in his hands as possible right before he declared bankruptcy. Well, sad because he was brilliant. And I was so glad that I only got burned in a very tiny little way for a client. I had the good sense to look into some things before, so it's like, oh, you know, collections for $350,000, we'll send it to you. Anyway, the example he gave me was, imagine you've got a letter signed by Albert Einstein. And it's a letter about innocuous minutiae that is of no importance. Right. And so it is the lowest quality of letter, but it's an authentic signature, and, you know, it's presentable looking. Now imagine you have also just one signature on a letter, but this is the letter that Einstein wrote to President Roosevelt about the A-bomb.
Oh, I know, yeah.
This is the difference at that time, he said something like, this is the difference between $250 and $100,000 and